Good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank the praise and worship team. They were helping me out with a song this morning. I was up, woke up at 4 o'clock this morning, and that's not normal for me, by the way. Some people get up and start praying at 4 or 5 in the morning. That's not normally me. In fact, I woke up at 4, couldn't get back to sleep, so I started praying, God help me go back to sleep. That was my prayer. But all I can say is in the middle of praying that, it kind of changed. And I'm laying there, and all I did was start thinking about how amazing God was. And I was coming up with all these adjectives, amazing, wonderful, marvelous. You heard the song. I was coming, and I go, there's a song like that. As I'm laying in bed, it's 4:15 in the morning. And I'm coming up, and I came to this point where I'm going, I've run out of words. And I don't think I've covered it all yet, but I don't have any more words left for how amazing and wonderful God is. So Randy says, hey, he asked him, we need a song. And I go, I got the song for you this morning. It's been going through my head in different ways since 4 o'clock this morning. Never did go back to sleep, but that's fine. God just had me keep praying. Now, once again, that's not normally me. That's all I can say. But so I've had a good morning this morning. I mean, when all you're thinking about is an amazing and wonderful and awesome God and all he's done and who he is, it's an amazing time. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for who you are. You are amazing. We thank you for your mercy, for your grace, without which we wouldn't even be here. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We ask that you guide us and lead us into the truth of your word. And we ask all this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Well, it's been about, 3 weeks now since I was with you last. And so I thought, well, first of all, I'm going to go into a brief review. Oftentimes, I'll just take off, but I thought, well, it's been 3 weeks, so I might want to do a slight review. And how would I put this? Do all of you often have plans as to how things are going to go? Yeah, and it was a good plan, because I asked God, I try not to make him my plans. I try to involve God and go, okay, this is what I feel God wants me to do. But then even when I think it's a God plan, sometimes he changes it. And so we will still do this brief review. All I can say is this happened throughout this last part of this week. And I'm going to tell on myself a bit. I don't ever, how would I put it? We have a phrase, rat out, you know, say what's going on in someone else's life. You know, maybe that they've got some things wrong. God in the last few years has had me share a few things where maybe I didn't have things quite right. But it's always to help those who I'm speaking to, okay? I can tell you that, it would have been Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So over a period of about 3 days, I was just feeling, for a lack of a better phrase, run down. I wasn't sick. I didn't feel sick. I didn't feel bad per se. I just felt I could slept all 3 days, I think. In fact, one night I went to bed at 8:15. That doesn't happen, okay? I just thought, I'm too tired, I'm going to bed. And all I can say is thank God for the Holy Spirit and for Bob Hawk, because he brought back something that Pastor Bob said, and he said it through the Holy Spirit, okay? So we'll test your memories even further. Because he would have shared this 3 weeks ago. And the Holy Spirit brought it back to me. And I'm going, man, I feel so run down. And so I'm going to remind you all of something. Do you remember the last time that when Bob was here, he prophesied? A couple of different times. And the Holy Spirit brought these back to me. Now, as the way God typically deals with me, it's often he takes me right to the word and he goes, okay, so what's prophecy supposed to do? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3 says, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort. And One of the things, there were several things that Bob spoke through the Spirit, but one of them was he exhorted us to do something. And the Holy Spirit said, you want to know why you're run down? You didn't do what he told you to do. And it was me telling you to do it. It wasn't him. It was through him, the Holy Spirit. And he said, church, you need to be praying in tongues more. And I thought, oh, let's connect the dots. Jude 1:20. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So guess what? I needed to start praying in tongues more. Because I was feeling run down, and the Holy Spirit goes, I told you 3 weeks ago. So the reason you're where you're at is because you weren't doing what I told you to do. And so I took correction, and all I can say is, how would I put it? How many of you know when you do it God's way, it works? Isn't that amazing? It's like, wow, you know, why not do that in the first place and avoid 3 days of feeling run down? So I'm sharing that as a way of encouragement for all of you. So I'm going to exhort you. He gave it through prophecy, and he exhorted through that. But I'm going to exhort you. Don't wait like I did till you get to the point where you feel run down. Let's just start praying in tongues and make it, I like to use the phrase, and I think I shared it last week. I often think of what, in business and in manufacturing, they would call it preventative maintenance. You don't wait for something to break down before you fix it. Okay? You do what you're supposed to do to keep it running the way it's supposed to so that the breakdown never happens. So I'm encouraging you to do preventative maintenance in your own lives. And that is pray in the Spirit often. And some people say, well, I am. Well, also say, then do it more. Paul actually talks about, I think the way he put it is, well, I do it more than y'all. That may not be his exact phrase, but it's the general idea. That's how they'd say it in the South anyhow. Yeah, I would do it more than y'all. So it's a good thing to be doing it a lot, okay? So all I can say is that wasn't my normal, it wasn't in my original plan is what I would say. But God wanted me to share that with you because all I will say is when he gives me something like this, when it happened to me, he said, you can be certain you aren't the only one. I'm like, okay. So someone else needed to hear that. Maybe it's none of you here. Maybe it's someone online. But someone needed to hear that this morning. So that's how I was led by the Spirit to start this morning. So it had really nothing to do with what we've been sharing, but it's what God wanted shared. So I have found better to do it his way. So now we'll go into that brief review. Okay, and I will keep it quite short, but I wanted to start with just a little bit of background. One of the first things we shared is I had you all look at and read the whole book of Philippians looking for a main theme, and some people came back with a main theme of love, and I go, yeah, you could say that's the main theme, and you might want to call it semantics or just a way of putting it, but the way I looked at it, yes, it's all about love because Paul and those who were with them, when they went to establish the church in Philippi, why'd they go? Well, because they love God and they love people and they went there and the church started and Paul writing this letter, why is he writing it? It's clear, it's because he loves these people and he wants to get to them what God has for them. So it is all about love. It's all done in love. And we went back to the verse in Ephesians chapter 3:17, about being rooted and grounded in the love. So this whole letter, everything behind this letter, is an attitude of love out of the heart of love. And another thing that a lot of people picked up on, and it's something that I got, I gave y'all, I said, come up with one main theme. Well then, how would I put it? Sometimes I color outside the lines. So even though I asked you to come up with one thing, when I came up with it, I included two things in my one sentence, okay? And one of the things that I included with the main theme once I read it was, in there was that it was all done in a spirit of joy. And if you read through the book of Philippians, the letter, it's all about joy. Joy, 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 joy. So you could have came up with the main theme being joy, but the way, once again, that I worded it was, is that the spirit behind it, the spirit in which the letter is presented, is that of joy. It's in joy completely. And then what God showed me as being the main theme, as he pointed out to me, and as I said, you may read it and God may have showed you something that stood out more prevalent to you. And it's not to say that what I got was right and what you got was wrong. It's what God had you see. And what God showed me was the theme of, you could use one of two different words depending on which versions you have. And in the New King James Version, they use the word the gospel. In other versions, they call it the good news. And that's really what the main theme was, is that what God showed me throughout the whole book. And so we touched a little bit briefly on, okay, then when we're writing about the good news, what is it really we're talking about? Well, the gospel is first and foremost, it's about his death on the cross. It's the fact that those who believe in him and give their lives to him, to Jesus, will be saved. It's about the fact that his resurrection from the dead then restores us to a right relationship with our Father. It's also about the fact that he has sent the Holy Spirit to live in us. And the fact that we do have a hope of his coming again. This is all, I don't think you'd have a hard time saying that any one of those things aren't really great news. We call it good news. I call it great news. Okay? All of that is great news for those of us who are believers. Now, what I asked you to do as a homework assignment this 3 weeks ago, so you had 3 weeks to do this one. So I'm not going to have you raise your hands to see if you did it or not. But you had a lot of time. Maybe you forgot what the assignment was because it took so long. But I asked you to go through and reread it, looking for everything you could find of the good news shown in Philippians. I can tell you, in just a fast reading, in other words, a 10-minute reading, without really even digging, looking hard, I go, okay, there's 13 of them that I could pick out real easy. I'm quite certain you could find more. So I may ask some of you later, how many of them did you find? We're going to cover just a few of them this morning, since it is a main theme. And it's one of those things, as we kind of been looking at this, God had me do it with the analogy of the fact of a forest, and that when you go into a forest, there are a whole bunch of trees, but instead of just looking at a specific tree, you're going to see things better if you recognize, okay, this is a forest. This is a starting place. So really, the forest is that main theme, that overarching theme, being that, okay, we're going to look at this, the whole book, kind of looking at it, is that it's all good news. Okay, it's all good news. So let's look at some of the good news that Paul shares with the church in Philippi. So let's start by looking at, we're not going to start in chapter 1, we're going to jump around a bit. And one of them is, the reason I'm starting in chapter 4, which is the last chapter, is because immediately when I started thinking, okay, good news, I thought of a verse where Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he said, and we're going to get to this, I'll let you start thinking of it as I'm presenting what Philippians says. He says something, you know, instead of thinking this is a big deal, you got to keep this in mind because this is what's really the best news. So see if you can think what I'm talking about here. We're going to come to it. But this is what jumped into my mind immediately when I started thinking about good news. Well, what did Jesus call and say, this is the good news, okay? So we'll see if you've got it. I'm going to give Phil a test afterwards. I'm going to see if he got it. I like asking people, seeing what they come up with. So Philippians 4:3 says, "And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life." Can you think back to what Jesus said when the disciples came back in Luke chapter 10, verse 20? They had gone out and been sharing the gospel. And he said, hey, even the demons have to listen to us. And what was Jesus' response? Don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So Jesus says, here's the good news. Here's the best news you can have. Your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So this, all I can say is, right away when I started thinking, what's good news? I like to know what God calls good news. And this is what Jesus says. Here is about as good as it's going to get. Okay, your names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, so that's one of the things that's shown here in Philippians. He's saying those who labored with him, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our names are written there too. So that's really, really good news. Now, all I can say, this is just a little side, and that is, as I was doing a little review of this, I started thinking, in this passage in Philippians chapter 4, it starts out by mentioning a few women's names. And once again, I don't want to present things as doctrine that can't be proven, but I will mention something. I've heard this taught many times by different people, and almost every time I've heard it presented, they'd come to this same conclusion. I'm going, okay, and these are all men of God, so I'm guessing they are led by the Spirit of God, and hearing from the Spirit of God, all I can say is the conclusion they all come to I don't see in the Word of God. Okay, does that make them wrong? No. All I can say is go back and reread that first part of chapter 4 when it's talking about these women and see if you can say where these women were at odds with each other and causing trouble in the church. Doesn't say it. Just a side note. Go back and look at it. It's something that stood out to me as I went through it this time. And all I can say, I presented this to someone else. They go, yeah, but you work in the workplace, and have you ever been in a office with a bunch of women and see how it goes? And I'm going, well, yeah, I don't. Trust me. No, really. All I can say, this wasn't me saying it. This was someone else saying it. And I can say, yeah, I have. And I said, but I don't base my conclusions on the natural. I go by what the Word of God says. And I don't see where it says that these women were causing problems. In fact, if you read what it says there, as we just read, it says, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. And their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So, and he says, have them continue to do what they've been doing. Maybe there was a problem, and maybe that's why he's urging them to work in unity and fellowship, but it doesn't really say that. All I can say is that's the conclusion I get hear everyone present. Not presenting a doctrine, all I can say is it stood out to me. But he's saying, and what I also thought of here too, is thinking back to these cultures, it mentions these women by name and says that they assisted us in spreading the gospel. What you have to keep in mind here is in the societies and in the cultures that they were involved in, how would I put it? The women were kept quite separate from the men most of the time. So for in order to get the word to the women, often it was the women sharing it with the women. So that the men needed some assistance to get the word to the women. It's just the way their cultures were at that time, both the Grecian and the Asiatic cultures. And it says that they actually assisted in the gospel. So hopefully y'all did your homework assignments and look for all these things, good news. We're going to look at a couple more of them. Now, what I will tell you is if in fact you only looked at those verses that use the word gospel or good news, you missed a lot of it. So in other words, there's a lot of good news in there that doesn't say, and the gospel of this is this, or the good news is this. There's a lot of good news in verses that doesn't use those phrases, okay? So if you only look for those words, go back and read it again and look for more good news. There's a lot more in there, okay? In fact, I'm going to give you a few more, but I'm not going to give you even half of them, okay? So today we're just looking at this one, we're looking at this for us, and we're looking at the good news. One of the first things that stood out to me, and once again, these are just some, each one of us will see different things. Different things will stand out to us because that's what the Holy Spirit wants us to see. Right away, Philippians 1:6 jumped out at me. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I thought, good news. Really good news. That means God's not going to leave me where I'm at. That's good for you guys. That he's not leaving me where I'm at. I mean, it's good for each one of you personally, but all I can say is it's good for you if you're going to be around me. That God's still working in me. He's not going to leave me where I'm at. He's going to form me more and more into his image so that when you're around me, it won't be quite so tedious. Quite so bad, okay? And he's got a bunch more work to do. So like I shared this week, he was working on me this week. Okay, you knew to do that and you're doing it. So let's get to it. That's the first one that jumped out at me. Next was down in Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you will shine as lights in the world. This good work that he's doing in you, that's mentioned in 1:6, he kind of brings it back up again in 2:13, that he's doing a work in us. But look how this plays out. He's doing a work in you so that you won't be complainers like those who are in the world. And why is he doing this? Because if he can get you to not be like them, not be complainers, your light's going to shine. In other words, they're going to start seeing Christ in you. Your light's going to shine. That is great news. Okay? So the good news is he's working in you so that you can be a representative of him and people will see it. They will know there's something different about you and you won't even have to open your mouth to tell them. In fact, it'll be because you keep your mouth shut. You're the one not complaining. Okay? So, in other words, by keeping your mouth shut, your light's going to shine. I just thought, that's great news. Okay? A lot of people said, well, I can't go out and share the gospel. Well, go out and just don't complain around people. So you don't even have to share the gospel. They're going to go, there's something different about that person. There's something different about them. And they might ask you. And then you can open your mouth. Okay? So you still got to be ready to open your mouth. Okay? But sometimes it's good having it closed first when it ought to be closed. Now, I'll give you a couple more. These, once again, it doesn't say good news in either one of these verses. But how would I put this? It doesn't take no rocket scientist to figure out that these two are good news. Any Christian reading these two verses are going to go, yep, this is really good news. How many of you know Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is that not great news? Does it take really too much more explanation to explain to you why this is good news? I don't think so. This is great news. I can do all things because Christ is strengthening me. Now we'll skip down to Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You think that's good news? I do. Once again, I like when he jumped in with great news. A lot of this, I go beyond calling these things good news. This is great news. You know, they say the gospel is the good news. I'm going to change it. It's the great news. It's the great news about Jesus Christ, okay? And these are just a few of them that's brought up in Philippians. And if you go back through and look for it, you'll find a lot more of them. And why is this important? Well, once again, we do live in this world. And there are many people, and I will say, even believers in some churches, not this one. Maybe someone's listening online once again that needs to hear this, who think that the Bible is simply a list of things telling you all the things you can't do. And all I can say is, the way I look at this good news is, it tells me all of the things like we just read. None of that was about things you can't do. That was just plain good news. But even though it does share things you ought not do, but those things you ought not do are for your betterment. So those are great news too. Even the things he says, you ought not do this. Well, there's a reason why. Because it won't go well for you if you do. So even those things are great news. So once again, as you're reading this, even look at those things that says, don't do this. Well, great news. I now know not to do that. So it'll go well for me. So when I said there was only 13 things, my guess is you'll come up with even many more than that. It's just in these four chapters. It's everywhere. This whole thing is great news. And all I can say is, when we share it, we should share it like it's great news. How would I put this? If you're out sharing the gospel with a solemn face and a sad countenance and go, we're going to make it. He's coming back. All I can say is the world isn't going to jump at wanting to be around you and receiving that. It should come across as good news because it is good news. People are just waiting to hear about this good news. And so we should present it as such. Okay? So I got to hop down. I have went so far beyond where I was at in my notes here that, once again, and this happens often to me, I just get going. Okay. I did want to bring up one other thing and kind of talked about it and sharing this word, this good news with the world. One of the things in Philippians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul says this, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Now notice there, it says, I am appointed. This means Paul is saying, I, Paul, am appointed for the defense of the gospel. But I want to take this a step further. Even though it's Paul saying this here specifically about himself, the Greek word here for the word defense, now notice it says defense of the gospel, so we're talking about a defense of the good news of Jesus Christ. That Greek word used for defense there is the word apologia, which is where we get the word apologetics. If you know about apologetics, those who do apologetics are typically those who are arguing the word, you may want to put it. I don't think arguing is a good way to put it. I would just say sharing God's truth as God's truth. Okay? I think if you get into arguments, typically no one wins. All we are to do is share God's truth. Now, what I will say, even though as Paul says here, that it is he who has been anointed for this defense of this gospel, what I want you to read is, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Those of you who have the word there with you can pull it up quickly on your phones or find it in your Bible. I don't know. How would I put it? As much as I like my electronic devices, for some reason when I'm in church, I just like having my Bible and turning the pages. That's just me. At home, I'm often using my Surface Pro or whatever electronically thing that I have. Here I use my Surface Pro mainly because I can make the letters a lot bigger so that as I'm walking by, I can just go instead of getting my Bible and going like this, trying to read it to you. So, but actually when I'm sitting here and someone else is teaching, I actually like having a physical Bible there in front of me. Once again, everyone has their own preferences. Just we're all wired differently. But 1 Peter 3:15 says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. So not only was Paul to give a defense of the good news, but we're to be ready to give a defense. And he says, of the hope that is in you. And you may say, well, how do those correlate? One says good news, one says the hope that is in you. Well, the hope that's in me is good news. We just talked about that. He's coming back. And all of the hope that I have in me is based on the truth of God's word. Absolutely. If without the truth of God's word, what do I have to hope for? Okay? So my hope is in him and in his word. And he is coming back. And so we are to be ready to give that defense too. So it's not just Paul that's supposed to have this defense. We are too. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Just want to throw in another Greek word here. Once again, I'm looking at a few of these leaves, even though we're looking at the forest. I just can't help myself. I said, part of it is look at the forest first before you go looking at the leaves. And then I still find myself, oh, but there's this, and I got to see this. And so I jumped to a certain thing in this passage here. So it wasn't Philippians. I wasn't cheating in Philippians. I started looking at a leaf somewhere else. And in 2 Timothy 4:2, when you look at that, when it says convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, if you were to look up the Greek word used there for preach, it is keruso or keruso, which means to herald as a public crier, especially the divine truth of the gospel of Christ. That's what it means. So once again, this is the good news, to divine, to herald as a public crier, especially the divine truth of the gospel. That's what we're to be doing. That's all of us. So this is our defense. This is what we're out there to be doing. This is for the whole church to do, not just Paul. Even though he said there, I'm anointed to do this, but we are to do it as well. Okay? Now, we also know that God will give people special anointings, and maybe you don't find yourself out doing apologetics. In fact, God has more or less told me don't do it because you'll do it wrong. I will get in arguments. Now, maybe someday he'll say, go ahead, once he's done more work in me. It's all like it. Literally, when he sent me into full-time ministry, he shared four things with me. And one of the four things was, don't argue my word. I'm like, okay, but isn't that what people are supposed to do? You know, it talks about this here. You just said, it's not for you to do, at least right now. And he hasn't changed that with me yet. He just said, you simply share the truth of my word and leave it at that. Let me work it out in those you're sharing it with. Okay? Like, okay. And so I just leave it at that because that's his word to me. Maybe God has shared something with you that you're to be a person that's able to do that because he's done the work in you so that you will be able to do it right. Okay? Because I actually believe there are people out there meant to do that. Okay? That'll do it out of the right heart in the right way. It's just not me yet. I'll leave it at that. Until God tells me differently. Okay? So, because we have about 10 minutes here, I'm going to start something, and Katie's not in here. She's one person that I told about something that was coming up. I didn't share this with some people because I thought immediately when God, through his spirit, spoke something to me, I'm like, really? How's that going to go over? This is just me talking to God. I talk to God like he's there because he is. You know, and so when he shares something with me, I go, really? Now, I thought this thought before. Now, I'll tell you what it is. I've thought it maybe 100 different times in my lifetime. What would happen if I got up some Sunday morning that I was supposed to speak and I just read the word of God and then sat down? Wonder how that would go over. All I can say is that's a question I've had before. Have I ever done it? No. Okay. But I've actually had the thought. And later, after having this thought several times, I actually had a friend of mine say something to me. You know, someone got up and really all they did was read the Word of God. I can read it myself. So they were wasting their time. I'm going, okay. Once again, not judging the person. I won't do that. I'm just saying, so I heard that going, oh, then this might not go over well with some people. All I can tell you is God has told me, we're going to read, even though I've asked each one of you, and you should have gone through it all twice on your own, we're going to read all four chapters of Philippians, okay? With me making, how would I put this, as few comments as I can hold myself back from doing. Which can be difficult. I shared that with Katie, and actually, I didn't add that last part. I think she said something about that. Yeah. You're going to be able to do that, huh? I'm like, well, maybe not, but we're going to see how it goes. And actually, what I'm going to do is start sharing. We're going to start with chapter one today, see how far we get. And so this week and into next week, we're going to go through it rather quickly. Once again, as I told you, it doesn't take that long to read it. Part of it is just, I'm hoping that all of you that are sitting here have read it. Maybe the ones online haven't. I want everyone to hear this. But as we read through it, what I want you to do is ask the Holy Spirit to show you what he wants you to get. I don't have to tell you what God's showing me and saying that's what you have to get. Now, sometimes they'll be the same thing, which is part of why he has me here sharing. But oftentimes, I'm not where you're at, and you're not where I'm at, and you need to see something right now where you're at. And so as we go through this, this week and next week, ask God to have his Holy Spirit show you exactly what he wants you to get out of the book of Philippians. What do you need now in the situation you're in? What good news do you need to see working in your life? Okay? So, let's start right at the very beginning. We're going to go through it. Philippians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Now, what I would ask you to do as you're going through this, again now, I'm going to ask you to read it for a third time. I had you going through the first time, just read it through, looking for the main theme. Then I had you again looking through it, looking for the good news. Now, for next week, I'm going to have you read it again. Kind of do what I'm going to start doing here today, and you'll see how I'm doing it. Start looking at the individual trees. And by that, I mean specific topics that are in the good news. Don't rely on your Bible saying, well, here's this, and here's this, and here's this. Let God show you, oh, it's talking about this here, and it's talking about this here, and it's talking about this here. So we're going to start through it so you can see what I mean. And this is just how God showed me. You may not see it the way I'm seeing it here. But as you do it yourself, let God show you. Oh, it's this is here, and this is here, and this is here. And as you do it, keep in mind, this is all done because of Paul's love for God and for the people and for this church. It's all done in a spirit of joy. And so keep that in mind as you're reading all of this. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, a very short section. What you're going to find is there are what I will call, just like you would look at any tree, there's big branches and there's little branches. And it's not to say that the big branches are more important than the little ones. Not really. It's just they're given more space on that tree than some of the smaller ones. All of it is important. And this is just a little opening here. And what God showed me as I was reading this was actually something quite interesting. Do you know when you walk into a forest, if it's windy out, you get into the trees and you notice it's not as windy in there? Especially when there's a lot, especially the evergreen trees, and you get in back in them a bit. It's like the wind gets cut down, kind of blocks out, even though they're often the ones causing it and the wind's blowing around. If you get back in the middle of them, it seems to be a little bit less windy. And if there's things going on, even rain and snow, it kind of shields you from some of those. And if it's sunny outside and the sun's beating down on you when you're out in the open and you get in there under there in the shade, oh, doesn't that feel good? On a hot sunny day, you get in under that shade and go, oh, this is nice. Well, this is kind of the way as we're approaching this forest. Once again, this forest of good news, it's the way this starts out. Philippians 1, 1 and 2 says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I read that and I go, oh, doesn't that sound like shade on a summer day? Peace and grace from God. I'm going, wow, that's a nice place to get into, isn't it? As we're walking, this is the first thing in the forest, you run into this forest that we're calling the book of Philippians, and you're running into grace and peace. That's a good place to be. Okay? So let's look at the next five verses. Actually, six. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all, with the affection of Jesus Christ. We are always to be thankful. And that's really the main thing that stood out of that section, is he's really thanking God in this passage, in this opening. It's really about thanksgiving. Thinking to a passage, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says there, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So whatever it is we're doing, wherever it is we're at, whether we're in this forest under these nice shade trees away from the sun, or whether we're out in the sun too, it is about having a heart that is thankful. And so as he's opening this letter to the church of Philippi, he's doing so expressing his heart of thanksgiving. Okay? So he's basically given us an example to follow. We'll actually end with this today. We're going to end in looking at verses 9 through 11. And this is just simply a section of prayer. Paul is actually praying here. And he says, this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. What stood out to me there, once again, just making small statements as I was reading through it, this is what I want you to do. What jumps off the page to you that the Holy Spirit just says, did you catch that? Seriously, he does this to me all the time. And when I read that, so he's praying this prayer, but what jumped out at me was the last phrase. That all of this that he's praying about and everything that he's said to this point in time and everything that he's going to say going forward, he's giving you something to keep in mind, that all of it is to be to the glory and the praise of God. So let's keep that in mind as we go through the rest of the letter too. The whole letter is going to be about, and everything about it is going to be to the glory and the praise of God. Okay? And he's presenting that right here at the beginning. But you should keep that thought in mind as you go on. It's all to be to the glory and the praise of God. Should be the same way with us in our life, in every single thing we do. So let's wrap up there today. We'll actually pick up next week, in starting with verse 12 of chapter 1. Next week, I'm sure we'll get through the whole rest of the book. It won't take that long. It's Once again, it's only four chapters long. I should say that as long as I cannot add too many comments. And don't be taking bets against me, okay? Can he do it or can he not? So, Father God, we just thank you for the truth of your word. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with us here today, not only here today, but when we go home. And when we go back into your word, that you will reveal to us that which you want us to see. We thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.